Today, Coach Chris and I are going to be talking about our holiday survival guide. So we're going to give you guys actionable tips on strategies to actually stay on track during the holidays. And this can be a very difficult time of the year. And I know specifically that a lot of people tend to fall off, not only their workouts, their nutrition, but they also even get more stressed. So even more so, this time of the year is where people need the most support, myself included, because it's really easy, especially when it's darker out. It's easier to make less than favorable food choices. It's easy to, you know, have the pressure at family also to skip that workout or eat this thing. And we're going to be covering all this for you today. Krista, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So good to have you. So I'm just going to give everyone a brief outline of what we're going to be chatting about today. We're going to be talking about nutrition tips specifically on staying ahead, mindful eating, hydration, and navigating holiday parties. Then we're going to talk about fitness strategies, where we're just going to talk about consistency, I know, shocker there, and how to make fitness a family affair and set realistic goals during the holidays if you are very busy. Then we're going to talk about mindset and stress management. I almost forgot what we're doing. So just prioritizing mental health, gratitude, and creating some sort of a holiday routine. And then we're going to wrap things up with social and family dynamics. And I know that a lot of people can have some pressure to, you know, for family obligations, which is normal, and how to navigate that as well. If you don't know me, I'm Matt Banwart. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California, with my wife, Caitlin. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Krista, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I think I already said that.
It's okay.
All right, well, let's chat. Just before we kind of get into our first section of nutrition tips, can you share any kind of personal story or anything that kind of comes up about how you have kind of struggled through the holidays specifically with your nutrition?
Sure. So me personally, I've lost both of my parents. So when you think of a holiday, it's the time everybody comes together and it's a memorable family time. People who have lost a family member, that is a big struggle for them. Emotional eating can be a very big component in not having the individual there who was maybe the matriarch or the patriarch of the family. So getting together is emotional for some people when they've had that, or they recluse. They don't want to go out. They don't want to see people because it's memory of somebody who's not there. And that's where we can tend to turn to alternative ways of coping with the depression, which a lot of people turn to food. Because right. It does have that dopamine and serotonin release.
Yeah. I thank you for sharing that. And I know for me specifically that before I started working out, that it was really easy to get into like more of a rut in terms of just looking back, making bad food. I would make worse food choices than I normally do. And when I grew up in Seattle, it would get dark even earlier out, like around 3:30 or 4. So it was really easy to just kind of fall into this like, exactly. How a nation stop, right? And then you just don't want to be active. Whereas it's the opposite during the summer because it stays so much lighter out to like 9 o'clock that I was outside all the time. So it was a complete flip flop where, you know, and obviously when it gets darker out earlier, you get more tired earlier. And then for some reason, when I'm tired, it's hard for me to make the right choices. So it's funny how sometimes the time change.
Yep. And the weather, the cold. The cold too. Yeah. You know, we're turning to those comfort foods that warm us up. We tend to think that we can pack on the weight in the wintertime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not beach body season anymore.
100%. And, you know, everyone, we all struggle with overeating, skipping workouts, and stress, but it's just amplified during the holiday season. And the whole goal of this episode today, everybody, is to equip you with actionable strategies to actually stay on track. So that's our main goal here. So, Krista, let's go right into our nutrition tips straight off ahead. Number one, plan ahead. I know this sounds kind of obvious, but let's chat about this.
Yeah. So, number one is if you're traveling, you know, you're going to be jet lagged if you're flying, right? So, being active in the airport, right? Getting steps in the airport, going on the escalators backwards, you know, just different ways that you can make activity in an airport to help kind of combat that jet lag. Plus, also when you're traveling, find a drop-in box. I have found some really amazing friends and coaches by doing the drop-in in a town where I visited my brother for Thanksgiving, or you know, another family member for Christmas, to force you to be in that habit. Plus, it also exposes you to different CrossFit moves that maybe we don't do in our gym as often. And you're like, oh, this is really cool. I get to, you know, learn some other coaching cues that maybe Caitlin, Matt, Torin, or Kim aren't giving me.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I like that a lot. I remember dropping in to my dad's gym back in the day when they lived in Reno. And it was really fun because I would meet other people. And they would want to meet me because I knew I owned a gym. So we always talked about gym stuff and I would work out. It would be fun to get out of the environment where I wasn't the coach or the owner and just be working out, which
was nice
because I didn't have any of those other obligations, which was fantastic. What's one simple, I guess, meal prep tip for people with busy schedules?
Sure. For specifically the holiday?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're thinking of moving up to Thanksgiving, you know, we want to have prepped food up until that holiday. So making sure that we're not going out and splurging on garbage foods or, oh, I'm going to make a turkey tomorrow. I might as well hit up, you know, Arby's tonight. So having that plan this weekend, right? Go grocery shopping. I apologize. There's going to be a lot of people grocery shopping this weekend. Yes. I'm not kidding you. I do that every week, Matt.
Yeah.
I spend the $15 for somebody to deliver my food to me so that I do not have to take the time to fight through people in the grocery store, get pissed off in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no excuse. If I know that it's coming to me, I can't be like, oh, I have to run here. I have to do that. And, yeah, you know, something else needs my attention instead of, oh, man, I totally skipped out on going grocery shopping, which then screws up your meal planning and prepping. And then your reactive eater finding anything in sight or ordering, you know, something delivered to you.
Yeah, I like what you said specifically about reactive eating, because if I'm shopping when I'm hungry, it doesn't even matter if it's during the holiday season, I'm more likely to grab something that I shouldn't be eating. And so when you do Instacart, even though it does cost $15, I mean, think how much you're saving in terms of the headache, not only your time, but also you're saving gas money as well, the loading and unloading. So that can be very helpful. I'm not saying you have to do that all the time, but when you need help, you know, take advantage of that.
Right. It prevents the excuse of you not following through. $15 is worth it. You know, I think I don't stop at the gas station and get beverages like some people do, or I don't, you know. So I try to save that $15 somewhere else to justify, you know, that habit that I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I said, when I do grocery shopping, I usually do tend to grab at least one, I guess, I wouldn't say a cheat thing, but definitely a fun food or a fun drink, one or the other, or something that I probably shouldn't be having.
Yeah. The end caps, they're perfect. Like they're meant to grab your attention, right? The specials on the end cap. And that is why DoorDash or Instacart is great, because you already can reorder what you had last week. You're not seeing that this pie is on sale. Buy one, get one half off.
Great point.
You know?
Yes. No, that's a great point, because I do look at sales. So if I see a deal, I'm like, do I really need this? No, but I'm going to buy it anyways.
Versus if you're just going through what you bought last week, add, you're done in less than 5 minutes and you're not tempted with, you know, the desserts or unnecessary calories.
Yes, 100%. Love that. No, that's a great point. Let's talk about mindful eating. So let's talk about portion control, because this is probably the thing I struggle with year round regardless, but even more so during the holidays. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So we want to think of our plate, right? So when I work with clients, I teach a magic plate. We like to call it a magic plate. It's split into three sections. So you have a third of your plate is your protein. A third of your plate is your complex carb or starch. And then the other third is your vegetable. So if we're thinking of Thanksgiving, I did the math here of all the calories. There's about 1,000 calories on your plate, not adding a roll, not adding beverages, not adding a pie. So your turkey, 6 ounces is about 300 calories. Your mashed potatoes is about 250, but of course we put gravy on. That's another 50 calories.
God, I love gravy.
Can you do the serving size?
Elliot, be real. We don't do the serving size. We do always do more.
Yeah. Your stuffing is about 250 as well. And then we go to probably your average vegetable would be like green bean casserole. That's again, another 250. So if you do the math of just those basic things, your turkey, your stuffing, your mashed potatoes, gravy, and your, you know, green bean casserole, you're already over 1,000 calories right there.
Wow.
We don't need the stuffing and we don't need a biscuit or roll as well, right? You're having two bread carbs together. Unnecessary. So, you know, try to pick either or. Like, if you really love your grandma's stuffing, you know, make that the priority over the role, you know, kind of substitute, sacrifice. What do I want more? And how can I make these calories less? You know, if you wanted to follow the magic plate, all I really need is my turkey, my potatoes, and green bean casserole. That's it. Or green beans, you know, maybe no casserole side of that. Who needs the, you know, the mushroom soup with that and the crunchies on top?
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, it's really easy to let portions get out of control because I found this out recently when I was buying one of those pre-packaged meal prep foods from Whole Foods, and I was checking the macros, and I'm like, oh, this looks good. Then I saw it was 500 calories, and then I ate it later that day, and I was like, I could definitely put down two of these very easily if I wasn't paying attention. So the fact that I knew it was 500 calories made me hold back a little bit more. And even with healthy food, like you can really put down some calories really easily, especially if you're hungry, and then, you know, you eat really quickly and you're like, you don't really feel full yet. And so you go for something else.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's with me.
Yeah. The mindless eating. And that's why portion control is so important, because it stops you, right? You're at the end of the bowl. You're like, there's nothing else here.
Yeah, I know.
There's nothing else here. So yeah, I guess I'm done.
And sometimes it just tastes good. So I'll just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not going to lie. Like, if something tastes good, like especially like ice cream, I can put down a lot of ice cream, specifically after I already have a meal, because it just tastes so good.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, for some people, it's the emotion concluding of a meal too. You know, it's just like Thanksgiving. It's a tradition that we do dessert after dinner. But doesn't have to be ice cream. It could be, you can make homemade ice cream with banana, frozen bananas.
Right.
Tastes the same to me.
Mm-hmm. No, awesome. Let's talk about hydration. Now, it's really easy. Oh, sorry. Going back to mindful eating and, you know, the 1,000 calories. I forgot to add one thing that maybe you can expand on. But not to mention, we have that 1,000 calorie meal. We're also probably having wine or some alcoholic beverage along with that, or something sugary beverage along with that. And then on top of that, we're having pumpkin pie and vanilla ice cream.
And apple pie. And, you know, the banana cream pie. You got to try one of each, right?
Yeah.
And a little 150 per slice.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would easily just hit 2,000 right there from just one sitting. So that's, for a lot of people, that's almost their daily caloric expenditure as well.
Mm-hmm. Like, one meal?
Yeah, that one meal. And it leaves you not feeling as full either, because there's not a ton of fiber in this meal.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. Especially if you're just doing the stuffing, the turkey, potatoes. You know, there, if you don't have your vegetable, you're not having that web matrix of fiber that helps slow release the macros into your bloodstream. So that's why fiber is so important, because it slowly really, it's like a time release. You know how we take pills, they say time release. When you have the fiber added to your meals, it's a time release for those macros to hit the bloodstream.
Interesting.
Instead of going in like a, you know, insulin right away.
Yeah.
It's a slow release because you have this web matrix of fiber that's, think of a strainer. Stuff's dripping through a lot slower than going right through.
Wow, that was a great illustration. Thank you. I'm glad I brought that up. So that was very helpful. Let's move into, hydration's next. Sorry, and then I went back. Okay, so let's talk about hydration. So it's really easy to, especially I find when it's colder outside, I don't drink nearly as much water as I do when it's hot out, for obvious reasons. So let's talk about this a little bit.
Yeah. So ideally we want to be drinking half of our body weight in fluid ounces daily. That is the perfect number to keep your body flush, hydrated. Think of when you're dehydrated, how you get headaches. It's because your blood, think of your blood as like sludge moving through. So if you're not having enough viscosity in your blood from water, then obviously you're going to feel that. You're also keeping toxins in your body by not having enough water to help flush that out. Same with the lactic acid. So water ultimately helps the soreness go away. It also helps curb carb cravings. So for every gram of carbohydrate that we eat, holds on to 3 grams of water. So a lot of people will think, I need carbs, I need sugar, when they're really dehydrated.
Interesting.
So we want to always think, let's try water, pound some water first before I go to eat that carbohydrate snack. Awesome. Because generally, we are just dehydrated.
Awesome. Can you repeat that ratio again, just so we all remember?
So 1 gram of carbohydrate holds onto 3 grams of water.
Okay.
So even I did gluten-free way back for 3 months. First week, gluten-free, lost 14 pounds. It wasn't fat. It was all water weight. Because I couldn't eat bread. I couldn't eat anything with gluten in it that held onto that water.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there we go. Very, very good to know. Dang, I'm learning so many new things. Every time you're on the podcast, I always learn something new. Let's talk about navigating holiday parties. Now, this is a tough one because now you're in a social setting. So even though you know what to do, it's really easy to get social pressure or just the fact that it's there. I'm one of those people, if it's in front of me, I'll eat it. It doesn't matter if it's good, if it's bad or good, I will probably eat it just out of because it's there. So give us your suggestions on how to get through this.
Yeah. So a couple options, you know, obviously if you are making the meal, you have control. If you're going somewhere, you don't have control. You have no idea what they're putting in things. So a thought could be you could eat ahead of time, right? You could eat your prepped meal of what you know is healthy and then do kind of a smaller portion there. If say you have, you know, say you are gluten-free and you're going to go eat somewhere else, you don't want to mess with their stuffing, right? You don't want to eat some of the foods that you know have been around that same type of food. So it's smarter for you to eat healthier calories before you go to a party where you are going to be, you know, tempted to indulge because you've already eaten.
Yeah.
If that's not the case for you and you're like, you know, well, Krista, I want to participate. That's fine. Let's be smart about it. Work out that morning, right? So be disciplined, follow your plan, you know, work out that morning or get a walk in. And then from there, when you actually go to the party, like, let's have a strategy. I'm going to work on the magic plate. I'm not going to drink 5 cocktails because that's an extra 500 calories, right? I'm not going to have one slice of every single pie. And just being able to communicate to who I'm, you know, like, for instance, my grandma, anytime I would go eat at her house, she would give me, I kid you not, a platter. A platter was the size of her portions for me. And I'd eat, you know, my little portion section here. And she'd like, you eat like a bird. Social pressure for me. Like, I have to eat more of this, grandma, you know. We don't want to have that guilt, right? Like, this is my body and my temple and I can take care of it how I want to. Other people's opinion shouldn't matter.
Exactly.
They don't have the same goals as you.
Exactly. No, I thank you for bringing that up because don't let other people project their expectations onto you, whether it's what they do, whether it's how they think that you should eat, how you should live. Like, I wouldn't tell someone, that's like the equivalent of me going to someone, you know what, you're fat, you should work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people take that completely differently, but it's ultimately the same thing. If I look at you and like, you're skinny, you eat like a bird.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Right. So then you feel obligated to eat more. Yeah. And you overeat, you're uncomfortable. And then, you know, you wish that you had sweatpants on instead.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a fun feeling.
Yeah. One good tip that I give some of my clients too is that if you are going to a holiday party and like, let's say you didn't have time to eat beforehand, because I really like what you said about eating something, your meal beforehand. So that way you are full going into it. That way you're less tempted to make those poor decisions. If you can't do that, I always tell my clients, start with vegetables first. You know, get that fiber in first because that will help with the fiber and everything. That'll help you feel a little bit fuller and that'll help you make better decisions later on.
Right. It's hard to eat more. Yeah, after you have that fiber in you.
You know, I know a lot of people recommend starting with protein first. I'll tell everyone eat their vegetables first, then go for the protein, and then start having your fun foods. Because then it's like, okay, we got your fiber in, you got your protein in, great. Now go ahead and have some fun. Eat whatever you like after that, because you will feel fuller sooner.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that when you start with those quick digesting fun foods, is it's a lot harder to go from that, from something sweet, salty, and very high dopamine to something that's kind of bland and a vegetable. Like, who wants to go from cake to a vegetable?
Right,
no,
right.
But it's better to go from vegetable to cake.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good concept. And also, if you think of anytime you go to eat at a restaurant, they always bring you the salad first. The reason that we want to introduce the vegetable first is you're putting oxygen into your bloodstream first. You're allowing oxygen to take over, which... You think of your metabolism as a bonfire, right? That metabolic fire burns hotter, burns brighter when you have oxygen introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So having that vegetable is a really great idea.
Yeah, no, awesome. Good to know. Let's move on to... Oh, wait, no, I have one other thing that I'd like to say. So when I know I'm going to go to a party or something where there's going to be unhealthy foods, I do specifically eat 2 really healthy meals that day beforehand and I'll work out. So kind of like what you said earlier. But I call it it's a 2-to-1 meal ratio that I call it. So I do the same thing for my workouts. If I take one day off, I have to do two workouts in a row, like non-negotiable. And so I do the same thing with my meals. So if I know I'm going to have one fun meal, I'm going to have two good ones that day leading up to it. So that way it's like, I still am at like a 63%. Rather than having two bad meals to one meal, that one bad meal out of three won't set me back nearly as much as two.
Right, right. And that's the other problem with Thanksgiving is all the leftovers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have that same 1,000 calorie meal the following day for lunch, the following day for dinner, you know, 3-4 days worth of eating that Thanksgiving meal. So this is where it's very easy to gain an entire pound from Thanksgiving. Is we're eating this same meal multiple days in a row.
Nice.
And not thinking of, you know, the healthy habits. We're just, hey, this is leftovers. This is what we got in the fridge. Mm. You know, we got to eat it up.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I hate wasting food. So I will, even if it's bad, I will still eat it if it's in there. Kind of like if it's in front of me.
Just microwave it a little longer. It'll kill it.
Yeah. All right, let's move into fitness strategies, okay? So we're going to be talking about consistency over perfection, how to make fitness a family affair. I know that's going to be that sounds extremely difficult, but we're going to give you guys some tactical tips on there. And then setting realistic goals, because we do know that, you know, family's in town or you're traveling, it's not always realistic to be as intense as you are throughout the year, especially when it's not ideal to train during the winter because it's colder out. There's so many things going against you, but that's not an excuse to not do it.
Right.
So consistency over perfection. So I really like this is why I love CrossFit, because you can do a shorter, more efficient workout if time is limited. I think people fall in this rut of where they, because they have other obligations or they have parties or because it is dark outside or is colder, that people will find every excuse not to do it. But I think that's where CrossFit is very effective, because it is so short that you can get in a 45 minute to an hour workout and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
and be totally good to go. I'll tell me about your thoughts on this, Krista.
Yeah, so anytime I've traveled for Thanksgiving, I've made it a habit to find a box. I'll give you an example. I went to visit my brother Coleman. He lived in Virginia right outside of DC. Really fun place to visit. We get to go, you know, explore any of the Smithsonian's or all the different museums they have there. But I always made it a priority to go to CrossFit super early that morning, because that way I didn't have any excuse of if he woke up and was like, hey, let's go to breakfast. My CrossFit workout's already done. So I made it a priority to find a box, go to that workout in the morning, borrow his car. It took that, you know, I have to borrow your car. I have to go to the gym. And he understood that, right? When people know you well enough and they know your goals, they're willing to support you. I also then invited him. Hey, do you want to come watch? And he's like, sure, I'll check it out. And that spun into, he showed me he had weightlifting shoes. I'd never tried a pair of weightlifting shoes.
Interesting.
Got to try those. It made me buy a pair. And then it inspired him to go back to lifting on his own. He didn't go join a CrossFit gym, but he ended up seeing, hey, my sister's doing this. I should probably get back into the gym myself.
I love it. No, yeah. See, so take this also as an opportunity where you can be an inspiration to other people. I like to tell one rule that I follow myself is that I will not let more than one day go by without a workout. So just like the 2-to-1 ratio for my meals, I'll do the same thing for my workout. So if I take one day off, I'll do 2 days on. If you can't do that, that's fine. You know, not everyone's, you know, me, but that's just what I do personally. So I'll tell people, just don't go one day without a workout, longer than one day without a workout. So if you don't go one day, work out the next. And if you have to go every other during the holidays, that's fine. And that's very realistic. So during the holidays, I like to make action the goal rather than having a goal. Because a lot of times it's really easy, especially at the beginning of the year or when it's summer, to have like, I want to lose 20 pounds of body fat. I want to gain a pound of muscle. I want to look better in my bathing suit. Whereas during the wintertime, it could be harder to hit that. So that's where I focus on just the action itself. Like I will work out 5 times a week or I will work out 3 times a week, whatever that is, to make action the goal instead of an outcome, because that's just right now we're just in maintenance mode. We're just here to, you know, a bridge to get you to the next one, to where you can go a little bit harder again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you think about the short-term steps that will get you to that goal, right? So even though you want to, you know, look good in that bikini, but we're in this season right now, is telling yourself 4 days in the gym will eventually get me to that bikini mm-hmm. that I'm looking for. So focusing on the what's the steps right in front of you, right? Not focusing on the score at the end of the game, but focus on the play right now.
Yeah.
That's all you can handle is right now. Yeah, your goal may be down the line, but what I can control is this right here. What I'm doing today, the next day. And if you think of people, you know, that come to visit, you're going to take the whole week off for the gym because they want your attention. You want to be with them. A week off is followed by an off week. So you going back into the gym is not going to be consistent if you took an entire week off for the holiday.
Mm.
You might get in the gym one day, right? Usually when people take an entire week off because of a holiday, they are not as apt to get back into that habit that they had before.
Right.
Because you started a whole crappy habit beforehand. You took a whole week off. You basically pissed away all your workouts and just let it, you know, life control you. All the excuses, all the, you know, somebody else wants my attention. Instead of, hey, I still have these goals. I still have these goals. This person should support me. Even though they're visiting me or I'm visiting them, I still have goals. And a holiday should not stop that.
Exactly. Are you really going to let a holiday or people who, let's be honest with you, unless they're family, maybe even if it is family, people who you don't like that much going to dictate what you do? I mean, at the end of the day, it is like, it comes down to sometimes you have to like your goals a little more than you like your food more than you like your friends. Not saying that you should neglect them, but it's okay to have boundaries and tell people, hey, like, this is something that's important to me. It's only going to take an hour to work out. It's not like you're neglecting anyone else by just taking an hour for yourself. And I don't think that's too much to ask either. Another suggestion I have is if you're normally a morning person, an evening person, when you work out, say shift it to a morning. So that way you can spend the evenings with your loved ones or your friends and have a good time. There's nothing wrong with that, but you might have to make a schedule shift as well just to get that in earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Cause then it's checked off the box, right? They're still sleeping. They wake up and you've been sweated, you know, and they're like, wow, you already did all that today? You already drove across town. You worked out for an hour. You came back, you showered. You're ready to face the day. They were sleeping in. How inspirational is that for them?
Yeah.
You're like, wow, that's a really cool habit that this person wakes up at 4:45 a.m. to go to 5 o'clock class in the morning.
And also, if they give you crap or they get butthurt over that, that's a reflection on them because they know that they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime people react to something that you're doing, it has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Everything to do with them because chances are you are close to them, which means that you're very similar people, but they're making a choice and you're making a choice and they're just simply trying to make themselves feel better for the choices that they're making.
Mm-hmm. They're jealous of your discipline is really what it is.
I mean, who doesn't want to be disciplined when you think about it?
That's true.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be? I don't think I've ever met someone who was like, you know what? I really want to be fat. I really want to be unhealthy. Not too many people do that.
No.
So, and then this is also a season where this is where all the foundations can be built. Because if you can do it when it's hard, imagine how much easier this is going to be in the spring leading up to summer. Like if you could, like I love doing things or like starting things when it's the hardest because that means it's only going to get easier. And like I tell people that all the time because the other day I had someone who was, they were on cholesterol medication. They were 40% body fat. And I signed them up the other day and they tried to make an excuse like, well, I'll just wait till January to do this program. And I said, what? So you're at 40% body fat, bro. Do you think the holidays are going to help this at all? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, there's your answer right there, bro. And I told him, I'm like, specifically, I was like, you might as well get started now where you need the most support. And it's the hardest because if you can get through this, you can get through anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a whole another month before a new year that can get you started for those New Year's resolutions, right? You don't have to wait till January. You could start today, you know, right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and we're not saying you have to go super hard. You can just get started or you can just maintain what you have. I see too many people just fall off the wagon so quickly just because it's the holidays and it's like a free hall pass month to be unhealthy. People don't realize how fastly that can undo all the progress you did the other 11 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I will tell you one Thanksgiving, because I mentioned my brother, I usually visit him every year. And I went that morning, he woke me up. This hilarious story. He had a blender. He didn't have a food processor at this point. He had a blender and he was blending up like carrots and celery in order to make the stuffing. And it was like 4 a.m. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm pureeing. And I'm like, you don't do that with a blender. That inspired me. That inspired me to step up.
You don't do that with a blender.
Yeah. I was like, especially at this hour when everybody's sleeping. I step on the scale, right? Because it was 5 a.m. I'm like, I want to see, you know, it's Thanksgiving Day. I want to see how much weight I gain. Stepped on the scale. After Thanksgiving, I stepped on the scale. I had gained 6 pounds.
Wow.
From the morning to that evening. Because I didn't care.
Interesting. That's how fast it could happen.
Yeah.
So imagine times that by, 31 days in December?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nuts.
Yep.
And then, accumulate. This is the time of year where people do spend the most time at parties. This is the time of year where I definitely eat the worst. So, I mean, if I'm eating the worst, then it's definitely harder for other people as well. So,
and your average, so the average Thanksgiving day is anywhere between 3,000 to 4,500 calories for the entire day. So you think of some families, they do like a brunch, right? They'll have a special brunch. And then sometimes people skip a meal till they get to the dinner. But if they don't, you know, you have all these appetizers in between when Thanksgiving meal is, you know, the turkey's still cooking and such. So within, you know, those appetizers, your brunch, the cocktails, the side cookies that people bring, brownies, what are those side
items? Nuts and M&Ms on the table.
Yeah. Trail mix. That will easily add up to, your average pound is 3,500 calories. So if you're eating 3,000 to 4,500 calories in one day, Thanksgiving Day, you just gained 1 pound that day.
From one day of eating. Wow. And you probably didn't work out that day, let's be honest.
Right. And then if you think about it, the leftovers, you're doing that the following day, and the following day, and the following day. You just gain 1 pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, 4 pounds. How easy that is to just totally backslide from all of your goals.
No, 100%. Let's move on to mindset and stress management. This is going to be an interesting topic because everyone's going to be a little bit different. And, prioritizing mental health is kind of a bundled term. So we're going to talk specifically about setting boundaries and avoid overcommitting, because this is something that I do personally, is that like, oh, yeah, like I can go to that or I can do this. And then I'm like, crap, I'm supposed to cook something. And like, not only is it stressful on me to cook something, but it's also tough to set boundaries because I'm a very yes person.
Sure.
Not that I don't like these people. Of course, I like these people. I want to spend time with them. But also sometimes it can be, it just adds stress on top of the stress that...
And you got a whole family behind you too that has to come.
That has to come with you too. And I have to worry about them not screaming their heads off and making sure they poop and pee before we leave. So let's talk about setting boundaries and over committing. What are some strategies that you've done yourself personally?
Yeah. So... say, for instance, you have a Monday Friendsgiving and then you're invited to a Tuesday Friendsgiving and then you want to go out to drink with friends because Thursday everybody is off, right? And so you think of the compound effects of what that meal can be, those 3 to 6 drinks could be, then the holiday, and how easily that backslides from all the goals.
Yeah.
So setting down with, you know, this time of year, a lot of people do a gratitude journal, right? Sitting down with your gratitude journal and making a plan of what is important to you. You know, who do I need to go to Friendsgiving for? You know, if I was invited by 6 people, I'm not going to go buy and cook 30, you know, that many different meals to bring to that many Friendsgivings.
Yeah, just bring Taco Bell. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Or some people will buy the pie and put it in their own tin, you know, to kind of make it look like they did it. And that's where the stress can come, right? Is if I've agreed to go to a Friendsgiving here, out to drinks with friends here, that's a lot of time away from me. That's calories added. And that's, you know, not any sort of activity that is helping my goal. It's not like my friends and I are going hiking. You know, we're not doing something productive with our time if we're just going to go out drinking. So maybe, for instance, let's go out dancing. I'm not kidding you, Matt. I burnt more calories on the dance floor than I did in a workout that entire week.
Yeah.
For New Year's. So it's there are things that people still can do with their friends to get activity and movement in. So it doesn't just have to be, let's go sit and eat. It could be, let's go bowling. Let's go mini golfing. Let's go do an activity instead of sitting around food.
Yeah. I like that a lot. That's a great suggestion also, because it doesn't have to be strenuous activity or workout or necessarily even like a hike or anything. It can just be something simple. Like you said, bowling. I think that's a great thing to do. It's social. You could still have a good time. And then also then you can go sit down and have a lovely meal with all your friends and family. And then same thing with the mini golf too. I mean, why not? Why not do something active first? And then even if it's not super intense, it's still activity. Any activity is good activity, in my opinion. So I love how you said that. And also it's okay to say no.
Right. Right. It is.
It's okay to just say no.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Because I don't want to bring a pie here. That if I don't make it, that's what, $25 a pie, $50, $75 going out to drink with friends. That's going to be another, you know, $50. Just blew $200 because it's the holiday.
Yeah. Well, not worth it. It isn't worth it. I mean, and you could still have a good time, but just prioritize, and it's okay to limit your commitments. That's all we're saying. We're not saying don't do any of this and be antisocial and just go to the gym and be a recluse during the holidays. We're just saying that it's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to say no. It's okay to not overstretch yourself. And yeah, it's you have to think about what your end game is as well. You can't just go along with what everybody else is doing just because it's an American thing to do specifically. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, you are your own person. Nobody else has influence on your body, right? My grandma, lover, told me I ate like a bird. I'd still go to the gym every single day. You're getting so skinny. Because I lived with her for a little bit when I moved to Wisconsin before I'm on a different place. And, you know, I could have listened to her. I could have eaten more. I could have made that platter my portion size. Sorry, I don't want to end up like you. What it boils down to.
Yeah.
My body is my decision.
No, 100%. 100%. And, you know, there's no greater waste of time than justifying your action to someone who lives a life that you don't want, ultimately. So that's about as preachy as I'll get right now. So creating a holiday routine and practicing gratitude, you know, I read a great quote the other day, and it was something like the opposite of sadness isn't happiness, it's gratitude, something along those lines. I thought that was really good, and I just wanted to share that. And sometimes sharing small wins can be a very big deal, especially when it comes to fitness and nutrition during the holidays. So I'm not saying you have to share on Instagram or something. I'm just saying that, you know, celebrate when you do hit that 2-to-1 ratio of meals and workouts. Like, that's a huge thing. And it's okay to reward yourself a little bit. Hey, like, you did do it, you know, have some fun. You know, I'm all for enjoying the holidays. Believe me, like, I'm all for enjoying the treats and the candy and the fun meals, but with boundaries as well along with that. And then when you create a holiday routine, this is what I mean by that, is that, you know, specifically carve out time and put it in your schedule to have time for movement and your workouts, and for if you can meal prep and just make better decisions that way. And when you have a routine, also a good strategy that I'll tell my clients too is to be like, hey, let's say that you are overcommitted and you are doing all these things. That's fine. But set an end date that this day it will end. Let's just say, for example, it's December 26th is the year end day. You could enjoy yourself Christmas Eve, Christmas. But on the 26th, it is over and we are getting ready for the new year, and you're going to start training again. Perfect meals throughout the whole entire week to start setting you up for success again. I think that's a big issue with people is that they just, I think everyone's a momentum person, where it's like, I'm eating like this. And then so it just keeps on building momentum, right? momentum, whether good or bad. And so, but when you have an end date to that momentum, like, I'm going to stop here and have a draw that line in the sand and be like, I'm going to get back on track this specific day, then you're more likely to actually follow through with that.
So I think of the back to the gratitude that you mentioned. You know, Thanksgiving is a perfect time for us to be what we call that abundance mentality thinker. So being grateful for what you have will ultimately make you feel better, right? Then you're not out constantly nitpicking about things that are wrong in your life. So when you focus on the positive, then more positivity will come. We when I work with clients, we try to transition that to food, is I don't take away the pie. I don't take away your Snickers. What we focus on is abundance mentality. I get to eat turkey and ground beef and vegetables and fruit and great complex carb with low glycemic index. So having that abundance mentality and being grateful for I get to eat healthy, clean food instead of, oh, I don't get to have my Snickers and my pumpkin pie. Big difference in the mindset. So that's why gratitude journals, it really does get you into that positive, grateful mindset instead of focusing on the, you know, especially in working out, like I'm not at the gym every day. And so then you're just down into that slump even more. I'm at the gym every day. I'm overeating. Fuck it all.
Yeah. Because it's really easy to throw your hands up and just quit. You're right. And I used to be very negative. And then I really tried to change my mindset to that. I'm still working on, but you're absolutely right. When you are grateful and you always remind yourself of everything that you do have and the opportunity, because it could be worse. Like imagine if we didn't have access to all these wonderful, healthy foods right down the street on Instacart. Like there's so many things that are going for us because of the internet and apps and convenience that even though it's convenient to eat unhealthy, it's also extremely convenient to eat healthy. Everything's about framing, you know, everything's about how you frame it. And that's something that I'm still working on to this day as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of the emotion tied to the food too, especially for holidays, right? You think of pumpkin pie, you know, maybe you were a kid cooking with your grandma in the kitchen. And so when you taste pumpkin pie, you remember that happy, joyous time with that individual.
100%.
And so that's why people will continue like, oh, I'm going to buy, you know, the 2-for-1 at Costco, right? And because I love pumpkin pie so much. And then you just end up eating the whole thing, you know, because of that memory of something that happened when you were a kid.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, because that's a huge trigger for me as well. It's funny that this is unrelated to food, but Caitlin and I were watching Harry Potter last night. And then, you know, the little Harry Potter chime came on, like the, how does it go? Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to butcher it. I'm not going to do it. But when it came on and she looked at me and she goes, oh man, this brings back so many childhood memories and so many feelings. And then it's funny that, you know, if just a musical chime can trigger that in your brain and bring back to your childhood, can you imagine what the smell and the taste and the just the environment can do, you know, and just the fact that, you know, it is wintertime. So it brings back all these core memories from your childhood. And so it's really easy to get back into that. And then just being able to identify that and being like, that's okay, I can still have this, but I'm going to also have an end date to this as well.
Yeah. Portion control for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Now let's talk specifically on, we kind of already touched on this, but let's talk a little bit more in depth about handling criticism and pressure. I know we chatted about this already, but what would you be your go-to responses to politely decline?
Sure. So, you know, say for instance, somebody invites you to Friendsgiving. That's so sweet of you to think of me. I appreciate that. You know, thank them first, right? Thank you for thinking of me. I'm a valuable person to you, for you to come out and even ask me to go. Unfortunately, whatever your excuse is, like if it's not something you really want to do or you know it's not going to be a healthy activity, then politely say thank you. But unfortunately, I have something set up with XYZ. You know, we can make up different excuses. You don't have to say I have to go home and wash my hair. But what you could say is, you know, unfortunately, I have work to catch up on, or I'm, you know, hanging out with a different friend. If you know it's not a situation that is going to be helpful for you. So, for instance, I know if I go hang out with my brothers, there's going to be a whole bottle of tequila there. No, I'm not going to stay up until midnight because I know that we'll finish that entire bottle together. Right. So politely saying like, hey, I'm going to go for a walk, get my steps in, see you later. You know, politely being able to have your boundaries and being able to defend yourself too. If they're like, oh, come on, stay. No, I don't want to finish the whole bottle. I remember the hangover last time.
Yeah. I remember quite well. Yep. No, I like what you said there. And let's say you do want to go, which is great. Then please, by all means, go and enjoy yourself. But let's say you are getting pressured to eat something or drink something. You can just politely say, though, like just say I'm full, or I'm like, oh, no, I've had enough to drink already. You know, it's okay. It's okay. If you still feel pressure, then that's when it's time to leave.
Right.
It's really that simple. I mean, you know, ultimately, like what Krista said earlier, where it's like, it is your body. You make the choices and it's okay to say no. I really don't have any polite responses personally because I'm a little more abrasive, but I will say that I typically like to say that, you know, like, just no. that's about as cool as I say. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not.
That was a complete answer.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not sorry. So let's talk about involving loved ones. We kind of touched on this a little bit too, but let's go a little more in depth. Let's talk about tips on how to get friends or families excited about the holidays in terms of a healthier holiday tradition. You know, and I like what you said earlier about the mini golf or the bowling. I think that's a great thing that you could probably start with some sort of a tradition there. You know, we're not saying climb Mount Everest or anything because it'd also be very cold in the wintertime, but are there any other, I guess, suggestions that you would have on how to involve loved ones and getting either some activity in or adding something healthy? I think activity is easier than eating healthier during the holidays. So maybe we start with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So even funny this morning, I looked at my memories from last year was when you guys did the Thanksgiving rock that we did at the gym where we were allowed to bring, you know, friends and family. And I looked back and I was like, that was a lot of fun. I brought my significant other. I was like, that was a lot of fun. You know, we traded off the rock. We did box step ups and such. But that was a really fun tradition that we, you know, can continue. Right. Is inviting that person to go with you to a gym or a walk or a hike, inviting even to go grocery shopping. Like you guys can, if you ever walk through Costco, you know, Costco is really can get you some 10,000 steps. Let me tell you, you go up and down every single aisle, you know, try all the food there. You're going to hit, you know, a lot of steps. So inviting them to be part of your activities, right? They're inviting you to be part of their activities. You can invite them to be part of what makes you healthy, right? Let's go to the gym together. Let's go for a walk. Let's, you know, take a lap through the ocean, you know, let's go surfing, something like that. So that way they're invited and included, but then you can also do the things that they want to do. Maybe they want to cook with you. You know, they want to be in the kitchen with you and prepping together. Oh, cool. Thanks for inviting me. Hey, maybe let's not use an entire stick of butter for this. You know, this is where you can actually put your healthy two cents in by participating with that loved one, that friend, that family member. And, you know, kind of guiding them towards what you want the outcome to be as well.
No, I love that. No, that's great. I have really nothing to add to that. That was fantastic. Yeah, it's going to be really hard to navigate during the holidays. And if you guys need specific help or you want more actionable strategies that's specific towards you, Krista does offer a free nutrition consult. So if you'd like to book that, just let us know. Shoot us a DM or just talk to us at the gym if you go to our gym. And we'd be more than happy to chat with you more about getting you through the holidays so that way you could still have fun and enjoy yourself, but also stay on track to where once it's January 1st that you've already had a head start on everybody else. Krista, any closing thoughts before we start wrapping things up on the holiday survival guide?
Yeah, be mindful. Be mindful on Thursday and get your workout in. Get your workout in, check it off the list, and then you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Feel free.
And I will end with this. Let's just say you are someone with zero impulse control, especially when it comes to food. Just work out. At least get one of the two right. Like get something right. You know, don't fall completely to the wayside. If you know you're one of those people where it's like, Matt, you know what? I just can't control myself. Fine. Offset it with as much working out as you can. It's definitely not perfect. It's not going to be extremely effective, but it's better than not working out and eating like crap the entire month of December. So that's just my two cents. I wish I had something better for you, but that's all I got. So let's go and do a quick summary of everything that we just went over. So first off, nutrition, plan ahead, stay hydrated, and enjoy treats with moderation. And my number one tip for you is to have an end date to your fun foods. Also, I forgot to mention another good tip is that start with fiber. If you're going to eat out or you're going to go to a holiday party, totally fine. Start with vegetables first. Bonus points if you can get some fruit in there along with it. Then protein, and then eat whatever you want thereafter. Fitness, stay consistent. Focus on short, effective workouts. So make a commitment to not let one day go by or one full rest day go by without doing a workout. So either a 1-to-1 ratio or a 2-to-1 ratio is a great way to do it. Ultimately, a 3-to-1 is probably the best. So 3 workouts to 1 rest day will be the best. 2-to-1 is good, and then 1-to-1 is mediocre, but we'll accept it. Mindset, so protect your mental health and celebrate small wins, and it's okay to say no. Don't be afraid to have boundaries, because ultimately it is your body. And then set realistic goals for the holiday season. Again, we talked about making action the goal rather than a outcome. So just focus on what you can do. Be like, I'm going to have 2 good meals a day, and I'm going to work out 3 or 5 times a week. I think that was the bare minimum that I think we can all hit. That's very realistic while still enjoying the holidays. If this was helpful, do me a favor and share this with someone, share this with a friend, because every time we see the numbers go up or we see the stats, it really encourages us to make more content just like this. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit and DM your content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. And we're always looking for new topics to talk about. Until next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas.